The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Irish Postmasters Union has been before an Oireachtas committee today, calling on the government to invest 15 million a year over the next 5 years to prevent a decline in post offices. They kind of sent a serious enough warning that 40% of branches could close over the course of the next few years. It's one of a number of issues that was brought up at the Oireachtas Arts and Community Committee today. Also contributing was David McRedmond, CEO of OnPosity. He's with us on the line. Now, good evening, David.
Good evening.
Is that realistic that we could see 40% of post offices closing if there's not enough funding?
Well, if there's not enough funding, yeah, but post offices could close. But I think that, look, that's the position of the Postmasters Union, and we support their ask of government for increased funding. They get 10 million a year. It doesn't come to Unpost. It goes through Unpost straight to the postmasters. They want that increased to 15 million, and we support that. We think it makes sense. But we think the future of the post office network, and indeed the future of Unpost, is very strong. You know, this year gone, we exceeded revenues of over $1 billion for the first time. We're now strongly back in profit after COVID. COVID was a big hit in the company cash-wise, but we're back in profit now, and we're growing revenues. E-commerce is a phenomenal trend. And, you know, I think we've yet to see the full impact of that. And indeed, particularly in post offices, where they're going to be very important for what's called PUDO, pick up and drop off. You know, if you look at something
that's
like Vinted.
That's a phrase I didn't think I'd learn today, but there you are.
Well, there you are. You learn something new every day. And, you know, if you look at something like Vinted, which has done amazingly in Ireland. It's been their most successful launch anywhere. This is consumer-to-consumer reselling goods, mainly apparel. And, you know, that's going to account for nearly 15% of e-commerce in the next couple of years. Now, they are parcels that are dropped off at post offices and they're picked up at post offices, and that will hugely help them. But there's a range of other services. I mean, the agency banking. We now do all the banking for AIB and Bank of Ireland in most of the rural areas. We do that banking. And indeed, we hope to have more on that network soon. So I think there's a lot of positives. At the same time, I completely understand where the postmasters are coming from. Some at the top end do extremely well, and some in the middle do reasonably well. But at the bottom end, where, you know, you're in areas which, you know, where population has declined or, you know, retailing has moved away, that can be tough.
Well, that is the problem, because let's talk about the rural post. I mean, David, since we were kids, there was threats to the rural post offices and whether they could survive or not. It's been a perennial. But what I have noticed is a lot of them, including my own local post office, had difficulty when there was a changing of the guard, i.e. when somebody retired, there was a struggle to get someone new to come in. Now, thankfully, it did happen where I live. But isn't that the problem? It's not necessarily the funding. It's the attractability of the business for someone to take it on.
I think so. And, you know, for many people, many of our brilliant postmasters, postmistresses, you know, for them, it's a vocation, it's a way of life, it's also an income. But times are changing. So now, more typically, when somebody leaves a post office, if it's a standalone post office, typically when we advertise it, it will be the local Centra or Spar or Super Value who will ask, who will apply for it.
And then it's added value to their business. Yeah.
It's added value to their business, gets footfall into their business. It's added value to the post office because it gets footfall into the post office. The costs are lower. Generally, it's a better environment. You know, it's cleaner, more modern retail environment, as opposed to some of our buildings are quite old and quite difficult to maintain. So in that way, while it doesn't quite fulfill the romantic view of the standalone post office, it means we've a sustainable network for many years to come. And I firmly believe in that.
Well, I wandered through the square in Talla yesterday, as I'm wont to do from time to time, and I noticed it was up there next to the Dunns. There is a very shiny new post concession, which kind of caught me by surprise because, yes, there was a counter, but there was also machines at the front. Don't tell me you're going down the bank route now where we won't be interacting with humans in the post office and we'll be typing furiously at a screen that might or might not understand us.
Well, I'm delighted you were in Tallaght because I think it's our most recent office. And it's an example of where there was a standalone office and we moved it and it's now, it's doing phenomenally well. Like we test with customers, we've mystery shopping, we do all of that. Yes, there is some self-service because some people want self-service. And the nature, and also the people going into the post office, if you've got people going in dropping a Vinted parcel, typically they're going to be in their teens or their 20s. You know, they're more used to technology and they like interacting with a machine and doing all of that.
Yes, but my 82-year-old mother would absolutely hate that and she wants to speak to the postmistress that she knows for the last 30 years.
Your 82-year-old mother is our most important customer and we will absolutely make sure she's looked after. And I know the postmaster, postmistress will make sure she's looked after. And we want to maintain that human contact. I think it's a great thing. And you know, the interesting thing about the post office network, the banks couldn't digitize if there wasn't a network. Government couldn't digitize if there wasn't a network because we provide the safety net so that if you don't want to engage digitally, you know, we can still engage with you with a human. But we can do both. I mean, one of the things that I'm very keen on that's understood about Impost is we are very advanced in technology. You know, the technology we use in post offices was developed by Impost. It's now used around the world and it's first-class technology. We're one of the leaders in AI in this country and we'll keep developing technology, but always with that human face. The human's got to be there.
I'm going to talk about head office, the GPO, because it was in the news yesterday with the Dublin task force that has been established. I know that you're actually the chair of that, but Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, raised it in the Dáil today. Here's what she said. Well, actually, we mightn't be able to play the Mary Lou clip, but she said she...
I've actually read what she said. Yeah.
Well, what I can surmise is she's not happy with the plan to revamp it and put in retail units and perhaps other things. Actually, here it is. Here's what she said.
This is the government's shameful plan for the most iconic site of Ireland's struggle for freedom. This is the building outside which Padraig Pearse in Easter 1916 read aloud the proclamation of the Irish Republic. This is the building inside of which James Connolly led brave volunteers to fight for Irish independence. Dublin is the city that fought the British Empire. The Irish Revolution broke the most powerful empire on earth at the time, and the GPO was at the epicentre of that rebellion. Our patriots took on the British colonisers and they beat them. Nowhere else in the world, in no other country that has fought for its independence, would you have a government so determined to desecrate its hallowed ground.
David McReadman, what are your plans to desecrate the GPO?
I mean, I have no plans to desecrate it, nor does Impost. We're very proud of the GPO. We're very proud of its position in our heritage. The post office will always be there, always. I can't ever imagine it not being there because that is the epicentre, is the post office itself, that public hall. We also have a brilliant museum called Witness History in the basement and the ground floor of the GPO, which everybody should go and visit. That's the story of 1916. And is award-winning. Now, what's going to happen to the future of the GPO? In the Dublin Task Force report, we said it's not up to us to decide because it is such a public building. It is iconic. Mary Lou MacDonald is right about that. It's iconic. But what we said, and I think what is in the programme for government, is that it could be any one of a number of uses. It could be used, I think, we should have a museum of the Irish nation, huge museum, like the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., you know, a place where the diaspora can come and visit and almost feel a place of pilgrimage. But alternatively, maybe, I don't know, could the Abbey be there? Could RTE be there? Could it be a opera house? Could it be whatever? And I think
nobody's suggesting we put Supermax in there, and no disrespect to Supermax, but
well,
I think
we want to remove
commercial. Commercialization is probably what she's hinting at.
Yeah, and look, I don't think that was I don't think that's the intention is to for I don't know of any intention to commercialize it. I mean, look, whenever you do something, if you have a museum, you might have a shop. If you something, you might have something. But its primary purpose, I believe, is as a public building. But it's not mine. It belongs to the state. We're just the custodians of it at the moment on post. We'll hand it back to the state. Wearing my Dublin Task Force hat, as I say, we said this is an iconic public building. It would be great if it could attract everybody into the city centre, because what we need in Dublin is more people living in the city centre, more people visiting the city centre, more people playing in the city centre.
When people think of the GPO, they will automatically go to 1916. But for many generations since, it has been a focal point where they go to buy stamps or they go to post a parcel. Will we lose that, do you think?
No.
Because I would be very concerned that we might, if we change it to a museum or add to the museum that is there, or as you say, put in the Abbey Theatre.
No, and I think, and I haven't checked with government or anybody else this, I think you can be 1,000% sure the post office will always be there. And certainly while I'm in Impus, the post office will always be there. That is our sacred ground. And you're right, it's where, you know, where people meet, and buildings also change purpose and things happen. I mean, the building we're talking about isn't so much the first 10 metres, it's beyond that, which was rebuilt after the Rising in the 1920s. It's a nice building. It's not particularly, it was probably reasonably built, but it is falling down and we need to rebuild it. And it's up to, it's just, the only thing that should limit us is imagination. We should be able to create something wonderful. But you know what we also need? Elsewhere in O'Connell Street, we need high density residential so more people can live there. We also need to have, streets that feel safe, that are cleaner, that, you know, we need all of those things. So it's just one part of a mix of ensuring that the city can transform. And, again, wearing my hat in that, I believe that Dublin One could actually become one of the most happening neighbourhoods in Europe. Could be fantastic.
A bit away from it, but let's not rule it out. David McRedmond, who is the CEO of Unpost, and indeed, who is the chair of that Dublin Task Force. Thank you very much for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.